with you in word and in song. Pray for Sharon this morning, Carol, for McAvoy's, or Bob Harder, for Russ, Lord, for all those that are not doing well. Linda's not feeling well this morning, Linda Doran, and we have all these different ones, Lord, that have physical ailments. We pray for them. We pray for your special touch to be upon them, to bring healing, comfort, and restoration to them. We also pray for their spiritual welfare as well, for each of us, as we have all these things in the world, Lord, that try to pull us away from you and frustrate us and make us doubt our faith at times. But we know that you're always there. You're always there to be with us and comfort us, secure our lives with your love in your arms. Pray for our financial stability as well, Lord, with all these things that are happening. We pray for the political situation, for the wars that are happening with those who are being killed and tortured and prisoners. Lord, we pray for your guiding hand to be in there helping and giving peace to those. So this morning we look for peace from you. We give you the praise in your name. Amen.
time to rejoice. It's time to celebrate the infectious joy and happiness time of year.
Celebration, sing a song of praise. let your imagination wander back to a simpler time in history, before electricity and running water, long before there were automobiles, telephones, or computers.
Yes, love was born in Bethlehem. Love like mankind had never known. Well, pursue transform the world. In the night that Jesus was born, there was very few.
He's the one who holds the stars, made the heavens and the earth. He made the day a thousand years, created with his word. He formed the awesome galaxy, and there was life, but he lived. The angels watched that night when he came all this way. The hearts opened wide.
recent days, many have tried to reduce this sacred and blessed event we know as Christmas to a mere holiday for lavishing gifts on one another and on ourselves. But Christmas is not just another vacation day on the calendar. The birth of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, makes Christmas a holy day, a day for celebrating and rejoicing for sure.
Ask you to stand again. Let's sing together, shall we?
Oh.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to see what that felt like. I never get to do that. Last week, we looked at hope of a coming Savior, and the Israelites needed hope for something better. They needed a Savior to come. We know the Savior has come, and that we have a hope that he's going to come again. Yes. This morning, we're going to focus our attention on the idea of peace, the Prince of Peace, to be exact. Long before Jesus was born in Isaiah, he prophesied and said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So the baby here has four descriptive names, right? We name our babies like that sometimes, at least if you're brought up in a Catholic family, you were. So I was Robert Louis Joseph Steinbrecher, was my name. Okay. Thank you for that, Dan. Give me some power, Dave, or something. So Robert was my dad's name. So he was Rob and I was Bob. Or you can be Robert Bobby. I was Bobby for a while. And you know, I grew up and I was Bob, so. And then Lewis was my uncle. Joseph was my grandpa. Steinbrecher was the family name. So everybody has a family name. In Australia, they call it your surname. When you go through school, you hope that your brothers and sisters before you were good. Otherwise, they say, "Oh, you're one of those." Right? Isaiah says the baby will be born. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. The counselor is somebody you can turn to for advice and comfort. And the Holy Spirit's also called our comforter as well. It's also called Mighty God. Because he is God, he has all power over all things. Everlasting Father. He's a father who never leaves or goes away and is always there for eternity. Wouldn't that be great if all our fathers were like that today? Stayed with their kids, helped raise their kids. Finally, he's called the Prince of Peace, because without him, there's no peace. So if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to have lasting peace. You may have peace for a time, for a while, for a short little bit, but it's not going to last. Remember the garden? Adam and Eve were content until they disobeyed God and sinned, eating the forbidden fruit. But the effects of their decisions have long-term consequences, don't they, for us? Sickness, mortality, disease, pain in childbirth, disobedience, and the like. They started out perfect with no worries, no cares, perfect peace. But as a result of their disobedience, there would be no peace. You ever do something wrong as a kid? And then you're thinking, "Oh, hope my parents never find out." Or your mom says, "Do you wait till your dad gets home?" Your peace is gone, right? Because you know dad's going to come and discipline you. But look around at the world today. Do you see people at peace? Or they're always in turmoil, struggle, worried about something going to happen. Never have any peace, worried about the next thing that's going to come along. Real peace is hard to come by. It doesn't come naturally for us. There's a phrase that has been going around for a long time: no God, no peace. N-O. And the second part is no God. If you know God, you're going to know peace. Well, the Lord sent Jesus because he knew we couldn't do it alone. Somebody had to pay for our sins. It had to be perfect. And none of us are perfect. Anybody perfect out there? Don't raise your hand and lie. Because nobody's perfect, right? Everybody has their flaws. We don't see what they are, but everybody has flaws and problems. People don't know. They look at your life and think, "Oh, they're perfect." But if you spend a day with them, you'd find out. Everybody has flaws and issues and worries and fears. But this person had to be both God and man, and he sent Jesus to us so we could be saved. What does true peace look like? Leviticus 26:6. "I will grant you peace in the land. You'll lie down, and no one will make you afraid." Think about that. You can just lay down and not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, what bill's going to come, you know, who's sick or what's happening. You can just have peace and not worry about it. Today, there's no place to get peace. Look at the newspaper, which is not very common nowadays, right? Look on the internet, basically. There's always fighting or wars, or somebody killed somebody, or somebody stole something, or took their car, or whatever it is. There's always a problem on the internet. Never do you ever get good news. You never hear the great things that are happening. You always hear the bad things that are happening. You go home and try to escape your worries, and you get phone calls, people trying to sell you things. Go on your computer, check your email, and you get emails about people trying to steal your identity. So there's always somebody trying to do something to keep your peace from you. Question is, can't we just get a little bit of peace? Can't we have these conflicts and things behind us and problems end instead of having one right after the other? So how do we get peace? Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I would not have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and be with you so that you can be with me. Isn't that comforting when somebody says, hey, come and visit. I got a place prepared for you. You ever go on a vacation and you didn't get a hotel? You drive around frantically, like, I got to find a place to stay. I got to find a place to stay, right? And you find a little rundown place that's charging way too much money. The heat doesn't work or anything, whatever it is. And you think, what am I doing here? This isn't even comfortable. But if you called ahead and Aunt Gloria is there, she says, I got a place for you. And you go there and the bed's all made up nice and everything's ready and comfortable. And she has a nice meal when you get there. And you're like, man, we can finally relax because that was a long trip. Well, God's offering us that kind of peace where we can just relax and not have to worry about it. So when he says, peace I leave with you, that's something the world can't give or understand. Sometimes people go through difficult situations. You say, how can you go through that? They say, because God is with me. It's something the world doesn't understand, that God can be there. Because they can't see him, but they can see the effects of him. They can see what he's doing. But there comes a time you have to surrender to God in order to have peace. If you don't surrender to him, you keep fighting him all the time, you're not going to have peace in your life, peace in your family, peace in your job, whatever it may be. Because there's things we have no control of, and there's nothing we can do. A lot of situations we have today, you can't control. You don't know if you're going to get sick. You don't know if somebody in hospital is going to get well. You don't know if your company is going to last. We don't know these things. We have to just depend on God. He's going to take care of us no matter what. Put our faith and trust in him because we can rest and know that he can give us peace. Think how Joseph felt when he was betrothed to Mary, who was going to have a baby that wasn't his. They haven't even consummated the marriage yet, and she was pregnant. Would you have stayed with her? I don't know. Good question. Matthew 1 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph could have said, well, I'm not going to do this, right? Forget this. But he had the peace because the angel told him it was from God. This is something man didn't do. This is what God did, so you can have peace in the situation. Then Mary, saying you're going to have the Son of God as your child. She's like, what? I can't, that's not possible. But God's the God of impossible things, isn't he? She could have said, I'm not doing it. I'm not ready for this. I'm not built for this. She said, this is what her words were. I'm the Lord's servant. May your words be fulfilled in me. That takes faith, doesn't it? Think of that situation that day. She's pregnant, no husband. The one she's marrying is not even the father. But tell somebody else, hey, I'm pregnant, and God's the father. What? Right, sure. But that was her story. So she brought us Christ at Christmas. Something the world doesn't understand and can't understand how this could happen. But Mary knew it was from the Lord, and she had peace with it. Question is, what circumstance are you in today that you need peace? Where are you trying to find it? In a book? From somebody else? Or from God's word and from him? When things aren't going well, we have trials and struggles. Sometimes we get angry, don't we? We lash out. You ever say, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Sometimes it just happened. It doesn't mean he did it to you. Sometimes it just happened. They say we all have certain genes in our body that could start acting up any time, cancer genes, wherever they may be. Doesn't mean he said, oh, you're going to get it. It just so happened that we have imperfect bodies, and that happens. And we can't choose who it's going to be or who it's not going to be. But what he does say is, I'll be near you, and I'll be with you. If you ever been through a hospital experience or a tragic experience, and your friend or your spouse is near you, and you can just kind of rest, and they're like, I'm going to be with you, it's okay. You can just relax because they're there. And you're not alone. So he's telling you you're not alone. You're loved. You're cared for. You're important to him. No matter what you're going through, he'll be there. But it's not something you can acquire. You have to ask the Lord to come in your life and be your Lord and Savior. And that's how you find perfect peace. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you'll make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your face towards us and give us peace. We just pray that we'll have a blessed Christmas, remembering that Christ is the reason for Christmas, the perfect gift. It's not about the presents. It's about spending time with family and friends and sharing your love and peace and comfort and being with those who need you in special times in your name. Amen.
Christmas is a time of remembering and rejoicing. But most important of all, it's a time to worship, a time to adore the one who came to save us. Looking back at the Christmas story, we find that every person who encountered the Holy Child worshiped him. We're in good company. We blend our hearts together in worship and Christmas. When we find ourselves in the throngs of the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, who all praised and worshiped this child named Jesus. And you know the story of Christmas is still being written. For when we bow our knee before the Lord and receive him as our personal Savior, we become a part of the Christmas story. It becomes more than just a memory. It becomes the constant reminder that we have been forgiven of our sins and have received the gift of Christmas, which is eternal life. We no longer simply remember him because now we know him, not just a babe in Bethlehem, Savior and our Lord. And to think of that day now, this King, the one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who died and rose from the dead, will leave his heavenly throne one more time. King Jesus will come to take his children home, to live with him in his house forever and ever. And until that moment, we will remember, we will rejoice. Thank you for being a part of this time of worship and celebration. And we indeed pray that you and family and friends will continue to gather and rejoice, for he who has come will come again.
Amen.
And we invite you to enjoy some sweet fellowship and sweet, some good things to eat as you have conversation all following our dismissal. But I'll invite you to stand, if you will, and let's have this word of thanks. Father, thank you again for this time that you give us together as the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're grateful that the story we celebrate is not just a story. It is life. Life that began there and gives us life eternal. And we pray that should there be anyone here that's not sure of their relationship with you, Lord, that they can pray just right now in a moment, just accepting you as their Lord and Savior, that you will forgive their sin, that you will come in and make life full of joy because of your joy. And we continue to give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you.